So the Christian cross means many things to different people and is interpreted in many different ways. But when I think about what the cross means to me personally, I often think of stories of sacrifice. Stories like that of Martin Luther King Jr., who was assassinated for standing up for civil rights. Or Mahatma Gandhi, who was assassinated for being a peacemaker. Or Marvin Fernandez, who drowned while saving two children from that same fate. Or Sandy Anderson, a Starbucks barista who donated a kidney to a regular customer. These are just a couple of people, famous and unknown, who have taken risks and made sacrifices, even given their lives, to help people, to make the world a better place. Now, the song we're reflecting on this week is a more traditional hymn that tells another story of sacrifice, that of Jesus. That hymn is the Old Rugged Cross, as I've mentioned. The hymn was written in 1913 by George Benard, who was born in Ohio in 1873 and raised in Iowa. Benard became a Christian at a Salvation Army meeting and then later became a Methodist evangelist. He died in 1958 in Reed City, Michigan, where you can still find the Old Rugged Cross Historical Museum. I don't know. I drive through Reed City a couple times a year. I've never stopped. Has anyone ever been there? No? Yeah. Okay. No one's ever stopped. Have to do that sometime in the future. This hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, is one of those hymns that I think people either tend to love or hate. For many, it might be a wonderful reminder of their childhood faith, as well as a reminder of the sacrifices that Jesus made, a reminder of God's gift of love that we find in Jesus. But for others, the song's theology may be questionable, even symbolic of the ways in which they themselves have been damaged by the church through doctrines such as original sin and substitutionary atonement. That there are varying opinions about the hymn is no big surprise, because the cross itself, I think, is in many ways kind of ambiguous and paradoxical. Perhaps what we think of this hymn in many ways depends on what the cross means to us personally. The Old Rugged Cross invites us to imagine Jesus crucified, already an uncomfortable image. Crucifixion was the hanging of those considered to be criminals by the Roman Empire. And the person to be executed was either tied or nailed to a cross or some other device and left there hanging until dead. It was a gruesome, painful, and humiliating method of execution that was intended to dissuade others from committing similar crimes. And yet the cross has become representative of our faith in God through Jesus. And I think it's fair to wonder, well, how did that ever happen? Well, I think early Christians must have adopted the cross as a symbol, essentially as a way to say to their persecutors, you can't scare us. You can't control us with fear, because the God of love is more powerful. It's much like the way groups today, such as the LGBTQ+ community, reclaim words like queer, words that were once insults. Queer was once hurled at LGBTQ+ people to defame and to demean them. And it was powerful enough that many people today still are uneasy with that word, even though it's increasingly reclaimed by some. For many, it's now considered a positive label meant to demonstrate pride in being true to one's sexuality or gender identity, even if it doesn't conform with society's expectations. For more and more people, labeling themselves as queer is a way of saying, you can't control us with fear. But just like not everyone is comfortable with the word queer, not everyone is comfortable with the cross and the meanings that they associate with it. Now, the cross is both a foundational symbol of Christianity and also somewhat problematic. And therein lies the paradox. And the lyrics to the hymn even point to this paradox, saying, an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, and I love that old cross. How can our love be inspired by an emblem of suffering and shame? And the paradox was recognized from the beginning. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, points out that to some, the cross was a crazy notion. How could a symbol of torture stand for redemption and salvation? And for others, it was perhaps the notion that the cross was a symbol of defeat. The Messiah was supposed to rescue God's people, not be tortured to death by the Roman Empire. Yet Paul says that thinking is worldly wisdom. And he challenges us to think more like God, to use God's wisdom. It might look foolish to the world, but maybe we can consider a deeper kind of wisdom. And so what is this wisdom that can inspire love for what was formerly a symbol of torture? It's the same wisdom that says wealth and power don't matter, but loving each other is the most important thing that we can do in our lives. I think it comes back to those stories of sacrifice in the service of others. In the hymn, the old rugged cross speaks of sacrifice. That old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. But unfortunately, the hymn also uses language about sacrifice that many of us will probably find to be bad theology. The hymn says, the dear Lamb of God left his glory above. Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. And these words conjure up substitutionary atonement, the theory that people are so evil that they deserve death and eternal punishment. And that's what many people think of whenever we put the cross and the idea of sacrifice together. The theory says that to save humanity, God sent Jesus, God's child, as a substitute to die in our place. And if we accept what Jesus did for us, we can escape everlasting pain and go to heaven when we die, or something like that. There are lots and lots of problems with that doctrine. For starters, it assumes that people are inherently evil, which I don't believe. From a certain point of view, it also makes God kind of look like an abusive father who beats his children to vent his anger. That is not the image of a loving and forgiving God. It might be an image of a God that a church can manipulate if they wanted to scare you into obedience. But despite that, I do believe there's a meaningful and awe-inspiring story of sacrifice represented in the cross. It is a sacrifice not of satisfying God's vengeance, but it's a sacrifice of love, born out of the desire to help not an evil people, but a lost and an oppressed people. For me, the cross represents the way Jesus lived his life as a sacrifice for the people that he loved. Much like Martin Luther King Jr. and Mahatma Gandhi did in our modern times. God so loved his people that God sent Jesus, that whosoever might trust in him and follow his ways would be healed and saved, led into harmony with the loving divine power. But we didn't trust Jesus or God. Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins. We might say he died because of our sins. Jesus died because he tried to make the world a better place. And the powers of this world, who believe not in God's wisdom, but in the supposed wisdom of wealth and power, were threatened by Jesus' message of healing, unity, and love. They were threatened by the hope that he offered to those that they were oppressing. And so they killed him, and thereby tried to kill God's voice of love in the world. The version of the old rugged cross that's in our hymnal seems to hint at this a little bit anyway, changing the original words in verse 3, which read, "In that old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, to in that rugged cross which bore love so divine." God's love could not be killed. And I think that is how Christianity reclaims the cross as a symbol of hope. The cross as a symbol of torture is declared ultimately ineffective at destroying God's love. The cross says to those in power that they cannot scare those who follow God and live in love. Fear cannot defeat love. Instead, we declare resurrection and new life in the face of death and decay. Long after his body was put to death, Jesus, who is God's love manifest, continues to work through us for peace and healing and justice in the world, continues to bring us love and hope. Now, everything about Jesus overturns the assumptions of the world. In a way, Jesus has initiated a new age, the age of God's wisdom. That's what Paul is telling us when he talks of God destroying the wisdom of the wise. Jesus turns a world based on the wisdom of wealth and power upside down. And in its place, he asks us to create a world of community and compassion based in the wisdom of God's love. And the cross is symbolic of that upheaval. It declares victory where the world sees defeat. It declares new life where the world sees death. It declares love and hope where the world sees fear and hate. Love and hope are ultimately what the cross represents for me. Now, the hymn also speaks of hope, but it's the hope of a heaven someday to escape this world. The fourth verse and the refrain say, "I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And Jesus will call me someday to my home far away where his glory forever I'll share." And I do find hope in the idea that something wonderful awaits us beyond the trials of this life. But that's not really the hope that I see in the cross. If our hope only lies in an afterlife, we're going to miss and dishonor the life that God has given us in this present world. Jesus' life was lived bringing healing to those in need. His ministry was very much in the physical present. And for me, the hope of the cross is a hope for now. Not that love wins someday, but that love wins now and always. And the cross also isn't just about Jesus bringing love and hope to us. The hymn says, "To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear." In a way, the cross is also a challenge to us to take up our own crosses, whatever that might turn out to be. A challenge to be like Jesus and be a force for love and hope in the world in the face of whatever struggles we might face. And I believe the cross also reminds us of our frequent failure to live up to that challenge, to live up to Jesus' teachings and the ideals of God's kingdom. Crucifixions still happen in our day in the form of black people hung from a tree or suffocated under the knee of a policeman, or in the gay man beaten and tied to a fence to die or dragged behind a car, or in the many transgender people killed every year for just trying to be authentic to who God made them to be. The cross reminds us of what happens still today when we fail to love. And it asks us, can we do better? Are we, like Jesus, willing to take risks and make sacrifices to love each other and make this world a better place? Isn't that what we pray for every Sunday? That God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? That God's kingdom of love and hope, peace and justice be realized today in our lives? What can we do this day to love the world, no matter the consequences? Perhaps we begin by trying to look at the cross and seeing the gift of God's love instead of condemnation, seeing the possibility of victory instead of defeat, seeing new life instead of death. After all, the cross is empty. God's love has not died and cannot be killed. Let us turn to the world, letting God's love shine in and through our lives so that all may know hope in a world of peace and justice. Amen.